Okay, we're going to read from God's Word in Scripture today, and John's going to read to us from Nehemiah.
There's quite a few tricky ones. Yeah, we go from Nehemiah chapter 8. All the people assembled with a unified purpose at the square, just inside the water gate. They asked Ezra, the scribe, to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given for Israel to obey. So, on October the 8th, Ezra the priest brought the book of the law before the assembly, which included the men and women and all the children old enough to understand. He faced the square just inside the water gate from early morning until noon and read aloud to everyone that could understand. All the people listened closely to the book of the law. Ezra the scribe stood on a high wooden platform that had been made for the occasion. To his right stood Mattithiah, Shema, Ananiah, Uriah, Hilkiah, and Messiah. To his left stood Pedadiah, Meshael, Malkijah, Hashem, Hashbadanan, Zechariah, and Meshullam. Ezra stood on the platform in full view of all the people. When they saw him open the book, they all rose to their feet. Then Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people chanted, Amen, Amen, as they lifted their hands. Then they bowed down and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. The Levites, Jeshua, Bani, Sherebiah, Jamin, Akub, Shapakthai, Hadahiah, Masasiah, Kelalita, Azariah, Josabad, Hanan, and Pelaniah then instructed the people in the law, while everyone remained in their places. They read from the book of the law of God and clearly explained the meaning of what was being read, helping the people understand each passage. Then Nehemiah, the governor, Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who were interpreting for the people, said to them, Don't mourn or weep on such a day as this, for today is a sacred day before the Lord your God. For the people had all been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. And Nehemiah continued, Go and celebrate with a feast of rich foods and sweet drinks, and share gifts of food with people who have nothing prepared. This is a sacred day before our God, before our Lord. Don't be dejected and sad, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And the Levites too quietened the people, telling them, Hush, don't weep, for this is a sacred day. So the people went away to eat and drink at a festival meal, a festive meal, to share gifts of food and to celebrate with great joy because they had heard God's word and understood them. On October the 9th, the family leaders of all the people, together with the priests and Levites, met with Ezra the scribe to go over the law in greater detail. As they studied the law, they discovered that the Lord had commanded through Moses that the Israelites should live in shelters during the festival to be held that month. He had said such a proclamation should be made throughout the towns and in Jerusalem, telling the people to go to the hills to get branches from olive, wild olive, myrtle, palm, and other leafy trees. They were to use these branches to make shelters in which they would live during the festival, as prescribed in the law. So the people went out and cut the branches and used them to build the shelters on the roofs of their houses, in their courtyards, in the courtyards of God's temple, or in the squares just inside the water gate and the Ephraim gate. So everyone who had returned from captivity lived in these shelters during the festival, and they were all filled with great joy The Israelites had not celebrated like this since the days of Joshua, the son of Nun. Ezra read from the book of the law of God on each of the 7 days of the festival. Then on the 8th day, they held a solemn assembly as required by law.
Amen. Well done, John. Don't you love those lists of names? What an interesting chapter. On the one hand, you've got people who are in tears because of their reaction to God's word. But as they start to understand God's word more deeply, the tears start to turn to joy. Now, it is true, as we come to worship, that we have sins to confess, we have things that we've done wrong and they need to be dealt with. But actually, as we will see in a couple of weeks' time when we move on to the next chapter, the people aren't ready to do that yet. There's a question of order here. Sometimes we may think something like this. We might think that we sort of walk into church Sunday morning or we come to pray at home or whatever and we think, oh, I'm not good enough. I need to confess my sins. I need to be put right with God. And that's a good instinct. It is right that we confess our sins. But we can think that what I need to do is to confess my sins before I'm able to praise God. And Ezra the scribe knows that for this people, it has to be the other way round. What they have to do is they have to come before God. They have to listen in great detail to what God has to say to them. They have to do a great festival. They have to celebrate like crazy. And then after they have done that, then will come the time when they know God well enough that actually they will be able to confess the things they've done wrong, but actually they will be able to do it understanding something much, much more, much, much better about who God really is. God loves his people. God welcomes his people. And here are the people this day. They have built the wall. It's amazing. They have realized that it's not just about putting up a wall. It's not just about building a physical city. It is actually about hearing from God's word, and it's about responding to it. And that's what they're doing. And that's to be celebrated. And that's something big. I believe that one thing that the UK really needs to see is a celebrating church. Not a church of pretending. You're not a church where you come in gritting your teeth and saying, I'm going to be happy today. That's soul destroying. That's really, really bad for us. But a church that is engaging with the word of God, listening to what it's saying, hearing it, and responding to it with joy. We meet together and we worship on a Sunday because Sunday was the day that Jesus rose from the dead. And what that means is that no matter what else is going on, there should be joy within our services. We should be making a response that is appropriate to the things that we celebrate, just as they were learning to do that here. We haven't come in the church to something that is small or trivial. We have stumbled across this thing that is huge. Jesus said it's like a merchant finding a pearl that is worth so much that the merchant will sell everything that he has just so he could get that pearl. And Jesus says the merchant doesn't sell everything he has out of some feeling of duty, some feeling that he ought to do it. He does it for sheer joy out of what he has discovered. And therefore, in church, yes, there will be ups and downs. There will be times when we don't know what we're doing at all, but we will come back again and again and we will focus upon the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord, it says in this chapter, is your strength. These people needed to connect back into the story of God and see just how wonderful it is. Now, when we were looking at the opening chapters of Nehemiah, we were saying that one of the reasons that Nehemiah felt so much for God's people was that he understood the story. He understood that God had spoken to Abraham. He understood that God had spoken to Moses. He understood that God had made David king. He understood that God had spoken through the prophets. And he understood that God had made a commitment to this people that no matter what happened, God was not going to let it go. And as we'll see when we look, when they do eventually get round to confessing their sins, they tell that story. Their story of confession starts by saying, we are an incredibly privileged people. God has put us in this fantastic position, and sure, we haven't handled it well, and there are things we need to do, and there are things they need to change. But God has called us into his plan, and he has welcomed us into it, and that is where we are. And coming up from that story is a joy that resounds through all generations. So perhaps today, if you identify with these people who want to weep, yet maybe it's right that you should weep. We are commanded in Scripture to weep with those who weep. But perhaps it's possible to point you to this incredible story that God has given to us. And the fruit of the Spirit is not seriousness. The fruit of the Spirit is joy. The sign that God is at work in us is we're knowing his joy. Not the sort of joy that you just have because things are going well for you at the moment, but the joy that you have because you know on the deepest possible level that God is at work and God is working out his purpose. So the people asked Ezra to come and to read God's word to them. And on the first day, Ezra reads to them from daybreak until midday. That is a lot of reading. But Ezra knows that if these people are to get their foundation right, if they're to get their focus right, it has to be a focus on God's word. It's why within our services, we always do a reading from God's word. And there have been some weeks recently, we've had pretty long readings. And people have sort of said to me, can you read the Bible for us this week? And it's like, you want me to read all that? And look at all those names. How am I going to get the names right? Don't worry about the names. If you get them wrong, nobody will know. But what matters is that we come together and we listen to this word. This is the word that speaks to us. This is the word that brings great joy when we understand it. Ezra didn't sort of stand up and say, right, I've got a few words for you today. The joy of the Lord is your strength. He read from this book for hours. And not just Ezra reading, but other people were helping him do it. Now, what precisely they were doing, we're not sure. There are different theories. But one theory that makes sense to me is that Ezra would read and then the other people would meet with the people in smaller groups and they would discuss it. And they would say, well, what do you think about that? How does that make sense to you? Is there anything that you don't understand? Anything we need to talk about? Let's see how this actually works out for us. And it's because they put in that effort in God's word that the joy breaks through. I want to encourage you today. It's great to have people up the front with bits of paper saying the joy of the Lord is our strength. But one of the key things, if we want to experience that joy, is that we are serious about reading God's word. And Ezra didn't just read on the first day. They had this festival that goes on for a week, and every day they get Ezra out. Now, this is party time. This is exciting time. This is big celebration. This is good food. This is sweet drink, whatever that means. They're partying together. But they know that the centerpiece of their party is that they must listen to what God has to say to them. And so Ezra gets up on his platform and he reads, huge trunk. They didn't have as much scripture as we do. It hadn't all been written then. But he stands up and he reads and he reads and he reads to them. Now remember, this would not be a culture in which everybody would have their own personal copy of the scriptures. If you wanted to know what it said, somebody had to read it to you. We are so privileged today. We have so many ways that we can learn from the scripture. But I want to encourage each one of us today to say, if really we really want to know that the joy of the Lord is our strength, the place to discover it is through getting into this book and reading it. Not just reading your favorite texts, not just reading from some sort of Bible notes that give you a couple of verses every day, but actually saying, I want to get to grips with this. And I'll tell you something, when you read from this book, if you seriously say, I want to read this book, it will be harder work than you probably think it's going to be. There will be times when you read it and you think, what on earth has this got to do with anything? Why are we being told in great detail about what's meant to happen in this temple? Hey, well, that's the bit that Ezra was reading to them. And we think, what's that got to do with us? And we read books like Ecclesiastes and we think, wow, that guy's depressed. Oh, actually, maybe that's actually quite important. Maybe it can relate to me if I'm feeling depressed today. Or we read the erotic poetry in the Song of Solomon, and, well, you could think what you like about that, but it's a very entertaining read. believe me. Or you can read stories like the Book of Ruth and see this woman catching the man that she loves and realize that God takes this and draws it right into his story. You read Proverbs and you think for some of them, well, this is wise advice, but what am I actually meant to do this? You read the prophets. You read the Apostle Paul and he's arguing about things that have never even occurred to you until you start to read this. But they were red hot issues at the time. And it's hard work and you work at it and you work at it and you work at it. A few years ago, I don't do this every year, by any means, but I did one of these Bible reading plans, you know, where you sort of read the Bible through in a year. So, God, that was hard work. I fell behind on several places, but I did manage to make it up. And I can remember churning my way through Leviticus and Deuteronomy. And then, as I kept going through it, I began to get more engrossed in this story. And I was reading the story of David and thinking, wow, David, you're this great king. Why did you screw up so much? And then I started getting onto the prophets and I got to the prophet Isaiah. Prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. And at that moment, my heart leapt. And it leapt not because I read a few verses about preparing the way for the Lord out of context, but because I had been wrestling with this scripture for months. I had plowed my way through the hard bits, through the bits that seemed boring, through the bits that didn't seem to have much to do with everything, and suddenly realized I had been drawn in to this fantastic story, which of course goes in to the New Testament as well. These people were prepared to spend hours listening to scripture because in listening to it, they eventually got through to the joy. Of course, they didn't get through the joy straight away. Their first reaction was to weep. Their first reaction was to think, oh no, we're useless. We're meant to be the people of God and we failed. We haven't achieved what God's called us to do. And some of us, as we approach scripture, We think, we read it and we almost find that it condemns us. We almost find that it's saying to us, you're no good, you're rubbish, God can use somebody else. And then Ezra and the priest get alongside us and they say, calm down. They say, this isn't a day to be sad. The day you realize that you need God's help is not the day to be sad. It's the day to rejoice, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. And it says that the priests move amongst the people and calm them down. I don't think this took 2 minutes. You know, I think this was something that maybe took them a few hours to do. I don't know. But my guess is it took quite a while. And the priests move around them. They calm them down. They say, right, now let's celebrate. I'm just wishing we had bread and wine behind me tonight. It's not that Sunday in our calendar. How annoying. Because what I want to do is to say, look, we've got bread and we've got wine here. And Jesus died for you. And Jesus rose again for you. Let's celebrate. Let's make it real. Sure, we've got things wrong. But you know, God is bigger than us. And it's not just about us and how we're doing. It's about him. It's about a God who loved the world so much that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but should have eternal life. And he calls us in. He says, you are welcome. There is a place at my table for you. Come and take the place at the table. And if you want to say, oh, I'm not good enough, the priests come alongside and they say, calm down. This is a day of celebration. The joy of the Lord is your strength.